Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 24th day of August, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Allen. Normally, I'd start off with a story that may be ignored by the waste stream, or might, in fact, be an introduction to some other things, dots that will connect as we go through the show. I guess there's a hint of that here, but I am going to do things a bit differently today by doing things not all that differently, and that's by starting off with the debate, for what it's worth, and the Trump with Tucker counterpoint to it that, let's be honest, pretty well smashed it to smithereens in the ratings. Because in this case, there's not a heck of a lot of point in my summarizing it, other than just briefly here in a second. Because ultimately, if you're interested, you'll almost certainly watch it. As I began the recording today, it looks like about 150 million people already had. And by the time I pulled up the Daily Mail coverage, it was closing on 200 million and still counting. So I'll start today with the thing I think we have to start with, because, again, I believe most folks will listen to it. If not, you'll certainly hear some of the highlights, and I'm going to talk about just one or two of them. But I do think it sets the stage for some of the other things that are important, and I'll also talk about that. So here we go. First, the Zero Hedge summary, and they always do a pretty good job, which begins with the teaser clip that Tucker himself came out with a few hours before they aired the debate. So, when Trump approached us, he said, about having a conversation for a far larger audience than he'd receive on cable news, we happily accepted. So, that answers a bunch of questions that if you watch it, you'll see answered again. But it's questions like these next few that I think people tuned in for. First, Zero Hedge notes, Tucker goes there. The question was, it started with protests against you, then impeachment twice, and now indictments. Are you worried, Tucker asked Trump, that they are going to try to kill you? Why wouldn't they try to kill you? And the calm response, and this almost looks like a setup, folks, but hey, that's okay. Trump said, I've seen the lengths that they go to when they make up the Russia collusion, and that's exposed. These are sick people, he said. I think, and I can't help but agree, folks, they hate our country. On the indictments and how they might even send Trump's numbers ever higher. Trump said, I think the people of this country don't get enough credit for how smart they are. And we'll see whether or not that's true with whether or not they put up with the next round of masking idiocy and Zyklon B injections. Anyway, says Trump, but they get it. The people see it's a fraud. He also didn't pull his punches on the Biden Fuhrer, and of course neither does your host. Said Trump, crooked Joe Biden is so bad, he's the worst president in the history of our country. I don't think he's going to make it to the gate, but you never know. I think he's worse mentally than he is physically, he continued, and he's not exactly a triathlete. And then he finished up by saying, he's both the most corrupt president we've ever had and the most incompetent. Okay, well, tell me something we don't know. But at least it's refreshing to hear somebody come right out and say what every single person sitting around their TV already knows. This is why Faux News fired Tucker, and most Americans are sick and tired of the crap they're getting from the waste stream media. Then he went on to talk about his links to China as well, which everybody that's got half a brain has seen. I believe he's compromised, said Trump. The Chinese have so much on him. Well, so does everybody, folks, but the Chinese are the ones that are probably most threatening to him. And he added, in many ways, he's a Manchurian candidate. Which brings me to the part that I really wanted to just spend a minute or so on, because it really sets up the alternative and the story I'm going to do next. Who's pulling the strings? Asked Tucker Carlson. Well, said the elected president, quote, we have a president that can't put two sentences together, can't speak, can't walk, can't talk. I don't think he gets to the starting gate, but these people do miracles. I mean, he ran out of his basement, he got away with it because of COVID, and they cheated on the election. And he continued, but they have people that are very smart, but they're fascists, and they're radical left lunatics, and they're destroying our country, unquote. And that, folks, is the real key here. That, I think, is the reason why this not debate outpolled the real one, because most of the whoring reprobates that put an R behind their name and try to convince people that this time the rhinos might actually do something don't even remotely understand this. The left, those that are pushing it, and that includes the rhinos, some of whom are running for president, claiming to be Republicans, are in fact deliberately destroying our country. More and more Americans have figured it out, and they're sick and tired of being lied to and having to pretend that they can't see it. Which leads to the sequence of questions that I think is really key. Like a sequence Zero Hedge labeled, fear of violence, question mark? Do you think, asked Tucker Carlson, that we're moving towards civil war? Do you think it's possible that there's open conflict? And then he followed up, Trump nods in response, quote, there's a level of passion and love that I've never seen, and there's a level of hatred of what they've done to our country that I've never seen, and that's probably a bad combination, he said. And asked about the rigged election, he added, we got way more votes in 20 than in 2016, but the election was rigged. They used COVID to cheat in a lot of different ways. We have so much on it, he said, but we had judges that didn't want to look. But I have never seen a spirit like there is right now. And then he went on to note that we need to go back to all paper ballots and said there's only one reason they don't want voter ID. It's because they want to cheat. Okay, again, duh. But hey, folks, why not say it right out loud? And finally, Tucker asks, and it has to be asked, because really it's the bottom line to the entire interview. And by the way, don't have any illusions here. These are, in fact, softball questions. But the fact that they're softball questions doesn't mean it isn't refreshing to hear somebody actually come out and ask them. Because think about it. People have gotten so used to the Orwellian ministry of truth and the fact that, oh, there are certain things you're not allowed to ask, not even allowed to think about, that Americans really are, I'll say it, PO'd about it. And it's about time, too. Tucker's question. Are you saying they stole it from you last time? Well, why wouldn't they do the same thing again this time? To which Trump replies, and this is a great quote and really is important, think about it. Well, he said, they'll try. They're going to try, unquote. And I'm going to introduce the next story, also repeated on Zero Hedge, but it came originally via American Greatness and co-authors Paul Ingracia and Matthew Booz. Their headline, looking at the alternative, 150 million views and counting, Trump triumphant, it says, Ramaswamy runner-up, DeSantis dud. But to get there, we'll end the way Zero Hedge does in the other piece with a quote from CBS Fake News. And yeah, I put that word in there, you knew it. They're going to try to convince you that the only issue here has to do with, quote, Republican primary voters, a term they use several times in just a paragraph and a half. First, they say, as was the case with Trump's previous indictments, yeah, your host can't help but think, unlike the unindicted and, oh yeah, unelected real criminals, Republican primary voters and their overwhelming concern about the Georgia charges is that they're politically motivated. To which, come on, folks, all we can add is, duh. Are you people really that stupid? Or do you just think those that are drinking the Kool-Aid you call news are? These Republican primary voters, they say, quote, dismiss the premise of the charges. The bulk of them do think Trump tried to stay in office, yeah, folks, because he was legitimately reelected. But to them, and evidently that means to them alone, says CBS News, because they don't believe it. They're not paid to believe it. It was legal and constitutional. Gee, do you think? Because these, quote, Republican primary voters overwhelmingly think President, no, I'm not even going to read it. They think the Biden Fuhrer did not win legitimately. Huh? Yeah, come on. They probably also don't think masks will protect them from the booga-booga flu any more than a screen door on a submarine is a good idea. They just won't believe that big lie, no matter how often we have to repeat it. Drum it into them. They probably also think that people dropping dead like flies has nothing to do with the Zyklon B injection. They really do. I'm not kidding. They really do believe you are stupid if you listen to them and take half of what they say without a huge grain of salt. But wait, see what I mean? Occasionally, even CBS News comes out with a whisper of the truth. Listen to this one. After posting some of the charts that have to do with what's going on and what's going on with Trump, Zero Hedge notes that Trump voters generally believe Trump is telling the truth. Duh. And that's in their text. Which is why the indictments aren't having an impact. In the support among his base, voters who said they place top importance on a candidate being honest and trustworthy picked Trump 61%, followed by DeSantis at only 17%. Now, here's what CBS News seems to say about it. And ponder the humorous irony in this one. Quote, the context here is that Republican primary voters believe the political system is corrupt. Huh? Can you believe it? Yeah. The political system is corrupt at an even higher rate than Americans overall do. That could mean perceiving Trump as railing against or prosecuted by, they said, the system might well make them seem, from their perspective, like the ones telling the larger truth. I'm thinking that the Soviet population probably would have something to add to CBS's coverage here, just like they might have when it came to Pravda and Izvestia. I guess it's encouraging to ponder that eventually, folks, it took a while still, that system and big lie collapsed. Still, I certainly hope Americans can do it far better and a whole lot sooner. But time draws short. And that leads me to the other story here that I've introduced more than once at this point, which begins with a mantra, they note, from Steve Bannon and his acolytes. Focus on the signal, not the noise. And at this stage of the game, write Paul Ingrazia and Matthew Booz for American Greatness, it should be the mantra of the MAGA movement writ large. For the hour is already late. There's a mountain of work left to do to haul President Trump, they say, over the finish line. And here they list some of them. Navigating a corrupt, weaponized Just Us system, dealing with rigged election procedures, combating both soft and overt censorship by waystream media networks and socialist media. All of that, they say, is just the tip of the iceberg. Which is why, given the enormity of the collective hole we've dug ourselves, the idea of a normal politics-as-usual primary season was simply ridiculous from the start. And on that score, folks, they nailed it. And that's why I'm going through this. The 2020 presidential election was undeniably, they write, the most unfair election in modern history. No, it was outright criminal and rigged. It necessarily, though, produced what we expected, an illegitimate outcome. The fact that Ron DeSantis, Mike Pence, Chris Christie, and the rest of the rhinos are behaving as if all of that doesn't matter, or that somehow the problems that got us in this dire situation as a country would just miraculously vanish if Trump were removed from the picture, is the ultimate indictment of their credentials and, I would say, of their criminality, their complicity. I'll say it again, folks, at the risk of being crude, because what these folks are is worse than crude. I have far more respect for an honest whore than I do people like this who sell out their country and intend to kill. Yeah, let's be honest about it. Intend to kill, if by no other means their inaction and their attempt to distract people from what's being done to them while they're not looking. Millions upon millions of once free Americans. These people are truly reprobates. They're a bit like small-time crime lords who collect money on the streets for the likes of an Al Capone and rat out anybody who wants to rock their boat. The other candidates aren't serious contenders, say the authors, for the presidency for the simple purpose they don't seriously care about America's interest. If they realized the gravity of the crisis, they write, they would have immediately stepped aside and thrown whatever minuscule political capital they may harness on the 45th president, knowing that he alone has a shot at achieving the near insurmountable feat of winning, and I'll put it this way, of winning back a stolen presidency. In short, the primary process, say the authors here for American Greatness, personified above all by Ron DeSantis and his pitiful excuse for a campaign, is nothing but a colossal distraction and a time waster from where our focus needs to be. Now, here, folks, obviously I'm going to disagree a bit, but I'll at least leave the authors their due because they're going to point to the polling numbers and say somehow that's at least part of the equation. So here we go. Because they say poll after poll has Trump with leads of 30, maybe 40, or many times 50-plus points above his nearest competitor. And even in primary states that are most competitive, like Iowa, Trump's lead is well over 20 points, and it marks the largest such lead for that state's Republican caucus in over two decades. Americans, they say, can viscerally intuit just how high the stakes are this time around, and they realize that for America, 2024 truly is the make-or-break moment. Now, I'm going to pause at this point and say, okay, that's a great introduction. It may be a bit over the top because the make-or-break moment, folks, may at this point be long past. Maybe a better question is, can anything be salvaged of a once-great republic? Regardless, though, the article at least goes in the right direction. The candidates who did appear on the debate stage, they continue, in Milwaukee last evening, presented an image of betrayal to the American people. The first debate was on Fox News, the network responsible for prematurely and recklessly calling Arizona for Biden in 2020, and they added a poetic touch to the general feeling of impotence surrounding the entire spectacle. Yep, they noted, and we've already done this, Trump highlighted the point by choosing to spend the evening with Tucker Carlson. His absence, they say, was keenly felt in the lack of energy, vigor, and vision on the stage, and Vivek Ramaswamy was, in fact, the only spark of actual life, in part because, among other things, he was also the only candidate on stage to defend Trump concerning the weaponization of justice, while those who were part and parcel of the problem dodged the question, limp-wristed as any mention of it was anyway. DeSantis even refused to say whether or not Pence was correct in certifying Biden's bogus so-called victory. What a sellout. Meanwhile, says the piece, Pence and Scott took turns gushing with hokey optimism about an America that no longer exists. And among other things, thank you, Pence, for that. The authors go into detail here with some examples. I'm not going to bother. But they say the insincerity and fundamental lack of seriousness of the whole spectacle was overpowering. We've heard a lot, they say, about Trumpism after Trump. But the GOP without Trump looks a lot like the GOP before Trump, coming on the very same day that Rudy Giuliani had his mugshot taken, and just a day before Trump is expected to endure the same humiliation. No, folks, this one I got to correct. It's America itself and the rule of law that's being publicly humiliated before a whole world that's laughing at a banana republic gone bad, with an arraignment for bogus charges that everybody knows are complete BS in Georgia. The debate couldn't have been more of an out-of-touch spectacle of irrelevance, and I'll add it, impotence. And honestly, I don't think there's anybody that's listening to this that can't see precisely why. Not one of those people has so much as a prayer, and I mean that explicitly, of actually winning an election that everybody knows is rigged already. And the fact that they're eliminating any opposition a priori is about all the proof you need of that. Are they going to rig it again? Absolutely. And Trump at least came out and said so. Can they? Well, nothing has changed, and I mean nothing has changed on the legal, or maybe illegal, front. Mail-in, dead voter, photocopy, ballot, electronically rigged, floating point, six ways to Sunday CIA cheating front is concerned. Not a single case has overturned a single bit of fraud, not in Arizona, not in Pennsylvania, not in Michigan, not in you name it, folks. And the number of states that are rigged is expanding, not shrinking. Now, let's be clear here. Can Trump win the presidency by literally getting every single vote? No, it's not enough. Lenin, Mao, Stalin, all of the communists know this. It's not about who votes that matters. It's who counts the votes, or in fact, tells you what the count was, whether anybody even bothered to actually count them or not. And if you don't like it, they shut you up. And just like we've seen here and in other places throughout history, they send you to the gulag, or they just execute you, or all the above. So what's interesting about this? Why am I spending the time talking about it? I'm going to suggest it has nothing to do with an upcoming election. It has more to do with an election that's not really upcoming, but at least what may happen, and this is what I devoutly pray will happen, the truth may come out. The American people may actually wake up as opposed to being woke back to sleep again, and they may recognize just how corrupt, how beyond corrupt the whole system is, and that, yes, America is in fact deserving of judgment. Maybe we're seeing it play out. And I'm not jonesing for a revival, a return to another Jesus whom we've not preached, as anybody that's been reading the actual Bible knows, isn't going to get it either. The question is whether people will return to the one true Creator and His Word or not, and whether or not enough of them will even realize how badly they've been duped to start thinking about looking in that direction. So, yeah, I have some optimism that Trump at least may at this point see how bad things have gotten. He had a chance to do more, no doubt about it. He failed. That's why we are where we are. If he had another chance, I don't know if he'll get it or not, but if he had another chance, would he do better? Well, maybe. But I'm not sure even that is the real point. I said it before, it bears repeating, the Savior does not come from the District of Criminals swamp, folks. Read Scripture and see that it's a whole different direction. But Yah has, and indeed will again, use flawed people to achieve His intentions, to achieve what He has already said He's going to do in His Word. So I'll put it this way. I see things like the confluence of events that we watched last night, and I recognize that more and more Americans are beginning to realize, A, something is horribly, viscerally wrong, and B, we've been lied to. Maybe we better start looking in a whole different direction for a solution than Big Brother itself. And the prince of this world who's been running this government and so many others for, millennia at this point. All right, from there on we go to another story that I actually recorded on Wednesday. And as it turns out, I ran out of time, missed the deadline. And so this is how I would have started. It certainly bears repeating at this point. But at least now, in the context of what we've been talking about, hopefully the idea of dishonest weights and measures and the fact that people are waking up to that too may resonate even a bit more. And I'm going to kick off that story with a place where the U.S. dollar arguably might be ending, although we'll see on that score. It may take a while still. The BRICS summit in South Africa. And honestly, with the exception of Zero Hedge, there's not a whole lot of trustworthy media coverage of it out there at all. Their story, though, under the headline that de-dollarization is irreversible, says Vladimir Putin to the BRICS summit, emphasized that the Russian leader in a Russian language speech claimed that the dollar's receding global centrality is, quote, an objective and irreversible process. And as expected, they note, he struck an optimistic tone about the bloc's future, meaning the BRICS nations, and that corresponded to the time when Xi Jinping of China is urging the BRICS to become a geopolitical rival to the G7. China Xi appeared in person at the BRICS summit, while Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov physically took Vladimir Putin's place because of the ICC arrest warrant that would require the communist South African government to seek his arrest if he showed up, so he spoke instead by video link. In the speech, Putin said that the five BRICS members, at least primary BRICS members, Russia, China, India, Brazil, and South Africa, are becoming the new economic leaders of the world, adding that their cumulative share of global GDP has now reached over one quarter at 26%. He noted further that if measured by purchasing power parity, the BRICS have already surpassed the group of seven's leading industrialized nations and now account for 31% of the global economy versus 30% and declining, it would seem, if America is any guide for the G7. Putin also took a swipe, and here's the real key, folks, at the U.S. and the West's international illegitimate sanctions, as he put it, which seriously weigh on the international economic situation, adding that the, quote, unlawful freezing of sovereign state assets, in a message sure to be graded positively among aspiring BRICS applicants, is a real and increasing problem. Quote, we're consistently increasing food, fuel, and fertilizer supplies to the states of the global south, he added, while also blaming international food shortages on those unlawful sanctions from the West. Much of the international press coverage of the BRICS summit focused on the fact that Xi skipped his scheduled speech, or so they said, at the business forum and showed up a little bit later. But the website for the Chinese Foreign Ministry said Xi believes this summit will, quote, be an important milestone in the history of the development of the BRICS mechanism and that it will strengthen cohesion and cooperation among developing countries to an even bigger level. And according to the Financial Times, in some respects, the British equivalent of the New York Times, especially when it comes to what socialists call economics, China will, quote, push the BRICS bloc of emerging markets to become a full-scale rival to the G7 this week, as leaders from across the developing world gather to debate the forum's biggest expansion in more than a decade. There is disagreement, they claim. FT cites diplomatic sources to say that a common currency is not on the agenda this time around. But there's no doubt about it. There is concern, especially among developing nations, about the weaponization of the fiat American dollar, especially the international SWIFT system, and lots of countries are increasingly looking for an alternative. South Africa's foreign minister, though, this month said it was, quote, extremely wrong to see a potential expansion of BRICS as an anti-Western move. However, says the Financial Times, Western capitals are likely to regard the possible additions of Iran, Belarus, and Venezuela as a move to embrace allies of Russia and China. I'm going to close today with two stories, both of which illustrate how difficult it is to know what the truth is when AI and others deliberately craft a world of lies. First, from just north of Moscow, where Yevgeny Prigozhin, the head of the Russian mercenary outfit called the Wagner Group, was aboard a private jet that was downed. Actually, it looked like it was either shot down or blown out of the sky by a bomb on board northwest of Moscow Wednesday evening. Wagner itself is now confirming the death of not only Yevgeny Prigozhin, but his second-in-command, Dmitry Utkin, as well, and evidently most of the entire top command of the Wagner Group. The bodies are said to have been identified, and that, honestly, folks, is about all we know, because in the world of spy versus spy versus double agent spy, it really is tough to know what the heck is going on, and that's the intent. Was it a real mutiny a few months back, a double cross, a triple cross, or a double-double cross? And who really? Was it the CIA, NKVD, or whatever the KGB is now being called, or some other agency that done the dirty deed here? Honestly, I think it's pretty clear who took out the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines. Not so much here. All right, that leads me to another story that's not getting much coverage at all, and we're probably even less likely to hear the truth about. What happened in Maui? Now, I saw this piece from Real Raw News. I have not confirmed it, and I do take it with a grain of salt, but it's really interesting. Says that there are reports that General Eric M. Smith at Camp Pendleton, the Marine Commandant, ordered Marines to Maui to investigate claims that the Hawaiian National Guard and FEMA, are you listening, were terrorizing disaster victims. The White Hats, and that's a term that you've heard before, arrived to witness unimaginable carnage and a catastrophic death toll. Said a witness, quote, we didn't really expect local law enforcement to fight alongside the feds and the National Guard. What Marines saw is nothing short of engineered genocide. I'll admit, is it true? We still continue to see things that boggle the mind, but how many times are we going to have to get used to it? There really is a battle here, folks, and we're talking about a level of evil that most people simply cannot conceive is real. But Scripture's warned us, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.